Thanks for joining me for this week's Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get that delightful instant when you jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And you're not only in, but in at the best program for you. Today's show is going to be devoted to the Graduate Record Exam, fondly known as the GRE. An important element in any application is a test score that is part of that application. For decades, the GRE was the preferred, if not the only, test for many graduate specialties. Not included on the list of programs using the GRE, however, were almost all leading MBA programs. In the last 5 to 8 years, that situation has changed dramatically. Currently, virtually all MBA programs accept the GRE. And the GRE test-taking community is growing. ETS recently announced that overall growth in 2014 over 2013 was a modest but steady 3%. However, it also very proudly revealed that growth internationally was 11%, and among test takers with an intended field of study, including business, volume grew 18% year over year. Today, I'm interviewing Dr. Lydia Liu, Managing Senior Research Scientist at the Educational Testing Service, the folks who administer the GRE, and Tom Ewing, who is Director of External Media Relations. They're going to give us the lowdown on the GRE, GRE prep, and why they believe someone who can take the GRE or the GMAT should choose the GRE. Before we hear from the ETS representatives, I would, however, like to remind you that if you have an admissions-related question that you would like me to address, just go to the show notes at info.accepted.com/101, that's just the numbers 101, and post your question as a comment. You can also send me questions via email at questions@accepted.com. If your question is chosen, I'll ask and answer it on the show. We're developing a supportive, collaborative, and thoughtful community on Accepted, so feel free to comment, share a concern, or simply ask your question. Now, a little info about our guests. Lydia Liu earned a dual degree bachelor's in China and came to the U.S., where she earned her Ph.D. in quantitative methods and evaluation from UC Berkeley in 2006. And she has worked for the Educational Testing Service ever since, serving for almost the last 2 years as a managing senior research specialist for ETS. Tom Ewing has worked at ETS as its director of external and media relations since 1983. When he's not working, he is a collector of magic memorabilia and a writer of conjuring history. Now, we're not interested in conjuring any history here, but we are quite interested in learning more about GRE magic. Lydia and Tom, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you. Our pleasure to be here.
Likewise. Okay.
All right. Now, Tom, can you please give a brief overview of the GRE general test? How is it structured and what does it test?
Yes, the GRE revised general test is the world's most widely accepted admission test for both graduate and business school. In addition to the thousands of graduate schools around the world that accept the GRE for their master's and doctoral programs, as you said, there's been an increasing number of business schools, some 1,200 worldwide, that also accept the GRE scores for admission to MBA, to specialized master's, and, of course, to other graduate business programs. The test itself measures the skills that are important for success at the graduate level, and that includes things like verbal reasoning, quantitative reasoning, critical thinking, and analytical writing, obviously all skills that would be very valuable for success in graduate or business school.
Sure.
It is a computer-delivered exam, and it takes about 3 hours, 45 minutes, and it consists of six separately timed sections.
There's also specialized tests for, not for business, but for other graduate programs, correct?
I don't know what you mean.
Aren't there like advanced specialty tests?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. We call them the subject tests.
Subject tests, sorry.
There are, in fact, and they function much the same way as do subject tests for the College Board's SAT program.
Right.
University or admission people may want you to take the GRE general test, but if you're going to specialize or focus on one particular area of study, they may ask you to take the subject test as well.
Okay. Now, Lydia, ETS recently announced the results of research specifically focused on the benefits to test takers of the ability to change scores, which is a feature of the GRE. It's a major selling point of the GRE. Can you go over the results of that study?
Sure. So the main purpose of this study was to see if test takers actually take advantage of this function that the revised GRE offers, that test takers can review and revise their answers within their section. We looked at data from over 9,000 test takers who took the revised GRE in testing centers over 12 countries. And what we found was really interesting. Majority of the test takers did make at least one change. For example, 96% of test takers made at least one change on the GRE quantitative reasoning section, and 98% of test takers made at least one change on the GRE verbal reasoning section. And among those who made a change, 83% increased the scores on the quantitative section and 68% increased their scores on average on the verbal reasoning section.
Wow.
We also looked at the, yeah, that was...
That's very significant. It's very significant.
Yes. Yes. We also looked at the test takers of all kinds of ability levels, and found that regardless of their ability level, they tend to benefit on average as a result of response change.
And they, so let me make sure I got this right. In terms of the response change ability on the GRE, they can go through the entire quantitative exam part of the exam, and then they can go back to question one and methodically go through and check their work, or they can go through all the questions and they can skip difficult ones and then go back and address the difficult ones. Is that correct?
That's correct. There are two sections within the quantitative reasoning and the verbal reasoning sections. What they can change is within each section.
Got it.
GRE is a multi-stage design. After test takers finish the first section, they will be routed into one of three different sections depending on their performance in the first section. So what they can change is within the first section. And, of course, after they are routed to the second section, they can also make changes within that section.
I see. Okay. So it's within sections they can go back. They can't. It's not the entire verbal or the entire quantitative section.
Right.
Right. I got it. Now, that would also imply that the ability to go back and change questions means they can really improve their score, right?
Right, right. As I just said, the majority of the test takers who made a change did improve their scores.
And it was a significant majority. Those are really impressive numbers. It kind of argues against the principle that you're taking a significant risk by going back and changing answers. I remember when I was in school, that's what we were told, that, yeah, you should check your work, but unless you're really sure, don't change your answer.
Right. So what we found really disproved the fallacy that you should always stick with your first instinct. Our results show that don't be afraid to make the change if there's a good reason to do so.
All right. Well, that's very interesting research. Thank you. Tom, does the GRE offer anything that shows test takers where their weaknesses are or where they should focus their test prep?
Well, how test takers prepare for the exam, of course, is a personal decision that they're going to have to make. But we recommend that they review all of the official prep materials that are available from ETS. And, of course, this is true for almost any test you're about to take. Taking a practice test is a very good way to get an idea of areas where you may need to focus on as you prepare. And the software program that we have that helps in that area is called Power Prep 2.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a resource of free materials on the GRE website as well, including a free 100-page math review, which is a really good way to brush up on your math skills and also to review the concepts you're going to see when you sit down to take the test. And as Lydia said earlier, you know, with the ability to go and change within sections, it's really a wise test-taking strategy to go through each section rapidly, answering only the questions that you know with certainty. And then, of course, because of the ability to change or to go back, you can go back and answer questions that either may have stumped you or require greater thought, or you may want to change. So there are no points deducted for wrong answers. So it's always better to answer every question than just to leave a response blank.
Sure. Well, those are great hints. How much is the PowerPrep software? Is there a charge for it?
There is a charge, and I'll have to get back to you.
Okay. No problem. That can be easily looked up. Now, what I had in mind, though, was let's say somebody takes the GRE and they don't get the score they want. Can they see a breakdown of what they got wrong or what they would need to work on, you know, if they were intending to retake the exam?
No, I believe that's absolutely true. They do get a description of you know, how they did on the test and what areas they may need to brush up on, and you know, that also, you know, offers them an opportunity to prepare much better for the next time they take
right.
it. And they can't take it for another 21 days, but you can take it, I think, up to 5 times in a given year. We do that for test security reasons.
Oh, I understand. Okay. And is there an extra charge for that additional information that I was asking about, or is that included with every test result that's sent out? Or do you know?
I'm afraid I don't know.
Okay.
I don't believe there is an extra charge for that.
Okay, no problem. Lydia, has there been research correlating a high GRE score with success in business school, basically validity studies? Because one of the claims of the GMAT is that it's predictive of success in business school. Can the GRE make that claim for business school also?
So last year, ETS commissioned a study of part-time and full-time MBA students who took the GRE revised general test to determine how well their scores correlated with success in their graduate program. The student data was obtained from business school admissions and registrar offices, and the results confirm that the GRE scores are valid predictors of success in MBA programs. This study, which Yale participated in, is an important piece of research that confirms the predictive validity of GRE scores for use in MBA admissions.
All right. Thank you. Now, Tom, for many graduate school applicants, the GRE is the only acceptable test. MBA students have a choice, the GMAT, which has been the MBA test for decades, and many still call it the gold standard, or the GRE, which became available in the last, I don't remember the exact year, but it became available for an MBA applicant in the last 10 years or so. Why should someone who knows they want to get an MBA choose to take the GRE over the GMAT?
Well, both tests measure verbal reasoning, quantitative reasoning, critical thinking, and analytical writing skills. However, the GRE Revised General Test is the only admission test that is accepted by both graduate and business school programs worldwide, and this gives test takers more opportunity for success. It also gives business schools a much wider audience to draw from when trying to recruit students to come to their business schools. Because we have a much larger testing base, a database of students who are interested in advanced study and learning. It's also the only test that features that test taker friendly design that lets the test taker use their own particular testing strategies. And I guess probably the last reason would be that we also have this option which is called Score Select. And what that is that allows the test takers to decide which scores they want to send for application purposes, so that if they take the test more than once, the test takers can send only the scores that they want their schools to see. They can send their best scores, and that's a very attractive option for students who are trying to put the best face and the best presentation package on their admission.
Sure. Isn't it also less expensive? I believe it's less expensive.
It is indeed, yeah. And also, you know, business schools really don't have a preference between the two exams. According to a Kaplan survey, 8 out of 10 of the MBA programs that are out there have no preference which test is used. So, in other words, most MBA programs view the GRE and the GMAT scores equally. Schools like Harvard, Stanford, MIT, they actually state on their websites that the exams are viewed equally.
Right. Now, a few weeks ago in episode 94, which any listener could find at info.accepted.com/94, I interviewed Rich D'Amato of GMAC. He's your counterpart, I believe. I asked him, what is the value proposition of the GMAT to MBA applicants? And you can listen to, you know, anybody can listen to exactly what he said. But his response boiled down to two primary advantages. One, the GMAT is a demonstration of seriousness and commitment to business as your field of study and profession. And two, the fact that success on the GMAT is really predictive of success in B-School. Now, I guess on some level my question addressed number two, but how would you respond to these two points?
Well, the GRE is no less a demonstration of students' commitment to business as a field of study and profession. The fact that more than 1,200 business schools, many of them top-ranked, accept the GRE scores for admission is a testament to this, basically. And as to the second point, our validity study proves that the GRE scores are also predictive of success in business school, and I think that's what's most important.
Okay. Now, some elite management consulting firms and investment banks use the use GMAT scores as interview screening tools. Do you know if the GRE is used in the same way?
I don't believe it is.
Okay. Tom, and this you touched on this a minute ago in terms of what are some test-taking strategy, but what are some of your best test prep tips? I mean, it's great test-taking tips a minute ago.
Sure.
But what are some of the best test prep tips?
Well, we can start with when you register to take the test. You probably should register early in order to get the preferred test date and the time and the location that you want.
How early is early? How much before your desired test date?
I would say as early as possible, maybe as much as at least several months in advance.
Okay.
And then that sort of gives you a goal, and once you've registered, if you keep putting it off, then you don't really have the drive and the push to prepare for it. But if you know you've got a date scheduled, then that's a goal that helps you stay focused on your preparation. Of course, we recommend you take extra time to review your math skills. Use those free 100-page math reviews that we provide to refresh on your basic skills and so that you're not caught, unaware on the day of the test with a mathematical formula that you hadn't thought of since high school, which for some people may be many years ago.
Just mine.
We also have an on-screen calculator that is there on the computer, and we caution people to use that calculator wisely. It is one of our test-taker-friendly features, and it's put there basically to help the test taker focus on solving the problem and the reasoning that's involved in it rather than, you know, having to work through computation that may take unnecessary time. You don't need to use it on every question, but use it for calculations that you know are more time-consuming or even use it to check your work when you've finished answering all the questions in the section. And as I said earlier, with regard to a test-taking strategy, you really do want to go through it fairly rapidly, answer only those questions you know you can answer for sure, then go back and work on the other ones. So that's basically the best way to get through the test.
Okay. And I guess allow a lot of time for practice. Another.
Absolutely. Yeah, practice makes perfect.
Okay. Lydia, Do you have any research projects that you're particularly excited about right now?
So GRE currently has many ongoing research studies. One of them is the one that I'm leading, which is about looking at GRE scores' predictive validity at a Singaporean institution. And what we found was that the test takers who have higher GRE scores tend to do better in graduate programs at this GRE, or at this Singaporean institution. They also tend to have better program standing as assessed by their advisor.
Any particular reason you focused on Singapore? Or?
We have not done a predictive validity study with a revised GRE in an Asian country, so we selected a top-ranking Singaporean institution.
Okay, sounds so. Well, when should that come out?
It should come out either later this year or early next year.
All right, sounds good. Tom, what is coming down the pike at ETS?
Well, we are developing several new products and services that will be coming in the will be announced in coming months. We're not at liberty to say quite right now, but a lot of people don't realize that in addition to being one of the largest nonprofit assessment organizations in the world, we are also one of the largest research organizations in the world. And we commit a tremendous amount of the revenue that we generate into studying education and advancing research. We, in fact, released a study about a month or so ago that looked at the millennial generation, U.S. millennials compared to millennials in 22 other countries. And it got a considerable amount of attention in the media because it basically showed that in verbal reasoning and in using technology and other things that you would assume numeracy, that you know, you would think that the millennial generation, at least in the U.S., might be highly skilled in that area.
Sure.
But almost universally, we came in near the bottom or at the very bottom when compared to 22 other countries, which was rather discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of research that we're very interested in. Of course, we've done NAEP, the Nation's Report Card, for about 30 years, and that regularly reports on the performance of the students across the nation. So we spent a considerable amount of time and money on the R&D research area.
Yeah, just add to what Tom just said.
Sure.
We are in the process of designing a suite of competency assessments for college students. This suite would include competencies such as critical thinking, quantitative literacy, written communication. In addition to the cognitive aspects of those competencies, we will also include more innovative competencies such as civic engagement and intercultural competency. We should be able to launch these assessments later this year.
And is the purpose of that to provide
it's
feedback to the colleges or to give guidance to the students as to what they should be improving? I mean, what sounds fascinating.
Could be
I'm
both.
Just wondering.
Could be both. The institutions could use these assessments to fulfill accreditation requirements or respond to accountability calls or use them as part of internal evaluation to improve teaching and learning. These assessments also have potential to be used at the individual level so students can get to know their strengths and weaknesses in a particular area and make improvement.
Fascinating. Sounds good. Tom, does ETS have any plans to expand to other or to additional graduate programs that currently have a separate test? I mean, the whole healthcare field has an alphabet soup of tests, depending upon the specific specialty.
We don't have any plans at this time to enter into those areas, but I guess what people like most about ETS and what they value from us is our ability to develop assessments that help, you know, measure effectively the body of knowledge that that organizations or professions want to measure. We typically, when we do these kinds of tests, we don't just sit there and try and figure out, you know, what the content is and what the questions should be. We always assemble test development committees that are composed of experts within that profession and get them to tell us what, you know, should be on a test and what's the minimum amount or that a candidate should know. And then we work with them to develop and design the initial round of test questions, and then we refine those and try them out in the field. It takes a very long time, actually.
Sounds like it.
But by the end of the process, you can be pretty well assured that the questions not only measure what they're supposed to measure, they don't negatively impact any particular racial or gender group, or they don't stereotype anybody. So we've been at this about 76 years.
And wow.
I think we've pretty much got it down by this time. But that's it.
All right. Well, thank you. Tom and Lydia, do you have any final words of advice for graduate school applicants and GRE test takers? Well, one would be check your work and make the changes if you think so. But go ahead. That would be my takeaway from the call. But what would you say?
Well, I think that anybody who's considering taking the GRE revised general test, whether it be for graduate admissions or for entry into an MBA program, they can take it with confidence that it's going to be accepted and treated seriously by graduate and business schools worldwide. And if they want to take a test, as you said, that's comfortable, if a test can be comfortable, and that allows them to use the test-taking strategies that they're most comfortable with and they've used over the years, then the GRE is the test for them. And then when they get their scores, pick the best ones that they've got and send it off and move on, because that's what you want to do. You want to be able to take the test, gain your admission, study, and move on.
Makes sense to me. Lydia, do you have anything to add? Any tips?
Speaking of the research study we just did, we think that it's important for test takers to know that don't be afraid to make a change if there is a good reason to do so. On average, test takers do gain scores when they make changes.
Good to know. Okay. I think it's time to bring the show to a close. Lydia and Tom, thank you so much for joining me for episode 101 of Admission Straight Talk. Where should listeners go to learn more about the GRE in general, and if they are MBA applicants, to learn more about the GRE when applying to B school?
The best place is on the GRE website at www.ets.org/GRE.
Okay. And I think it's we'll include links in the show notes at info.accepted.com/101 to ets.org/GRE. And I think I also found a couple of other resources I'd like to link to, both, you know, from ETS as well as some related resources at Accepted. Listener, thank you too for joining Dr. Lydia Liu and Tom Ewing and me for our 101st episode. If you feel the show was helpful to you, I have a favor to ask. Please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk, especially if you leave 5-star feedback. You'll find a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.